Good morning and welcome to Local Matters. I am joined by my best friend in the world, Mr. Lynn McHenry, the school board chairman for Putnam County. Good morning, Lynn.
Good morning. Glad to be here.
Glad you are here. I know you've been on, but it's been a little bit, been a while. I hadn't had you on since you got reelected this year for school board in our district, which is district what number?
We're district five.
Five. Six districts in the school for school board, 12 districts for county commission. Lynn makes up district eight and nine for the commission. So that equals district five for school board. So Lynn is now back as serving his, is this your second tenure as chairman or third?
This is my second.
Okay. So you were elected chairman of the school board in September.
Yes.
Yep. So this is your second time and you'll serve, what, 2 years?
I'll serve 2 years. That's correct.
And that's the rules y'all have, right?
It is.
The procedures y'all have in place?
Yeah, it is.
Nobody can serve more, just like the commission.
Yeah.
Nobody can serve more than 2 years in a row.
That's correct.
Yeah. Which I think brings opportunity for somebody else to serve.
It does. It does. And we try to keep that rotating, you know, as best we can with those that are interested in serving. Not every member wants to, but because it is a quite a bit more responsibility, more things you have to do, but it's a fresh look every 2 years.
Yeah, I think, of course, you have six school board members total in Putnam County. Not everyone on the school board, I think, I'm assuming they do not want to serve as chairman. Not every one of them.
Not everyone does. Yeah. It, you know, like I said, it takes extra time and you have to, you know, kind of lead the meeting and it takes quite a bit of time working on the agenda and so forth. So it does take an extra effort.
Yeah, and there's a lot of, you know, there's just a lot of work into it. And of course, I had Corbett King on a few weeks ago to talk about some school updates. And really, the reason I have you in is the perspective of the board and also talk about some things that Corby and I didn't touch on. But first thing I want to recognize, and he and I mentioned this just a little, the Tennessee School Board Association annual conference was a few weeks ago.
Correct.
It's always held at Opryland, is that right?
That's it, yeah.
So you all go down there. I don't know the day-to-day conference layout. I just finished my conference for my association, so my mind is foggy on conferences. But I don't know the day-to-day. But anyway, there is a banquet, I'm assuming?
There is, and there's a banquet. There's lots of clinical breakout sessions, all kinds of information that is, you know, there to for school boards to improve and to get better. A lot of different speakers, and, you know, there's attorney type sessions where you learn more about school law and policy. So all kinds of different opportunities while you're there. But yes, we have a banquet session too, where you know, you actually have a full conference with all the school boards there in the state.
Yeah, so it's open to every school board in the state of Tennessee, every school board system.
That's correct.
Every district, right?
Every district.
I mean, not all attend.
The majority do, not all, but the majority. There's 147 districts in the state. Now, that's, everybody says, well, there's only 95 counties. How do you get 147? Well, there's lots of special school districts that, or city schools that have their own district, and there may be multiple districts within a particular county. So it can be broken up that way.
I may be wrong on this, and my former CTAS counterparts are going to yell at me if I am, but I think, and you may know, is it Carroll County that doesn't have a county school system? They just have cities?
Just city schools.
Like
that's Huntington, correct. That's
McKenzie.
Pretty good, man.
Yeah. So there's,
right.
And there's like, maybe there's an.
And it's an interesting dynamic. I actually talked to that, one of the guys there at Carroll County this past session, and they have, I think maybe it's either five or seven, maybe different districts, and they have a central location that does nothing but like busing and maintenance, maybe or something like that.
For all districts.
For all the districts.
Okay.
But then, I don't know that busing and something else maybe, but anyway, but each individual district is different. And I think they have the ability to raise their own funds, maybe even something like that.
That's
heard about that?
Well,
it's an odd thing, but they're one of the few.
Yeah, it is odd. That's why I haven't, and I didn't serve that area, and that's why I don't really dive into it. But I know they're unique. as in they're a small county, like 20 to 30,000 people, and they don't have a countywide school system. They have, like you said, 5 to 7 small school districts based on the cities.
Yeah.
You know, some small counties only have one municipality, one incorporated city. You know, they have the communities, you know, and here and there. But when it comes to a legal city that's incorporated, some, you know, like you go to Clay County, they have Solana. That's it. Basically. You know, you go to Van Buren County, they have Spencer. That's it.
Piggott County, Byrdstown.
Yeah, these West Tennessee counties will have 5 to 10 cities inside, and they're small.
Yeah.
And it's just a different dynamic from west to east across the state. There's nothing wrong with that. There's just that's just the makeup. So you're at the banquet, I'm assuming. There's a ward part, and it gets to the best school board in the state. What was the official?
So the official is school board of the year.
Okay.
And so, yeah, there is lots of different awards and pat ourselves on the back here, but it culminates all into this last award, which is school board of the year. Of course, that's why we're there. It's Tennessee School Board Association, right. TSBA. So, so at the end, they, you know, announce this, the school board of the year. So out of 147, give or take or so districts, we were blessed in being able to be named the school board of the year throughout the whole state.
Yeah, I mean, so that's, I think that's the greatest honor you can get as a school board in
it
the
is.
State. And I mean,
it
I, the, but because you're actually, you're including, like you said, 147 school districts. And when you're, did y'all know?
We had a indication that we would get it, yes.
Nice.
But we weren't, you know, we were prepared, but
Not expected.
It wasn't official till they named it.
So yeah. I don't want you to give away any secrets, but was you supposed to have an indication or just kind of leak out?
No, they give you a little indication because they want you prepared as far as pictures and all that stuff.
Okay.
So they want to give you a little nudge, but they don't want to make it official until then. So.
Did they put up is it like the CMAs or the Grammys? They put up like the category, like the nominees, do they put a list up or they just say this is the school board?
They do it differently. Sometimes they do, they have in the past, but this time it was just, this is it.
County schools,
yeah.
School board is the school board of the year. Well, I think that's a huge honor. I hope y'all have been congratulated by the citizens in Putnam County, the teachers, the admin, because I'm biased. Biased because I've worked with the school board as a commissioner for the last 10 plus years. Biased because you're one of the members and I respect and love you like my brother. And then biased because I've seen the progress that you all have made since I've been a commissioner. And y'all are very deserving. And I know sometimes students and parents may not see that work. There's a lot of with this many students, there's going to be some frustration, right?
Yeah. So,
I mean, there's nothing you can do to keep it perfect, but yeah. I hope they've congratulated you.
We've got a lot of people to write in, text, email, calls, everything that, you know, congratulating us, and it is a, you know, it's a really big deal for us. Now, that doesn't mean that you know, we've got everything figured out over everybody else, but it does mean that we are you know, giving all we can to the school district and to the students of Putnam County. You know, we have about 12,000 kids, and we want to do all we can, you know, for them. And, you know, some things people call and ask us about all kinds of different subjects, and sometimes our hands are tied. Sometimes we can't do anything about it. And it can get frustrating at times, whether the feds tie our hands or the state ties our hands on certain things, but we do the best we can in order to, you know, provide the best education for them. And one of the greatest things, and this is not, I don't want to sound like I'm bragging at all, but it's not about me, it's not about any individual that is on the board, but we have 6 members that are fully dedicated to doing the best for the students, and we work together. We don't always agree. In fact, many times we don't. But we always are respectful to each other. And many times when we sit down and we talk through everything, we'll come to a good consensus on what needs to be done. We go to these meetings and we often see many other systems that are in disarray. you know, their boards can't even get along. And I understand not representing necessarily the same ideals, but they can't even run a, you know, a meeting decently, and they're always at each other. We're never that way, and it's really, you can't progress the way you should if you don't have that kind of cohesiveness, and we're just so thankful for that. So it was a great award, great opportunity to be able to represent Putnam County in that fashion, and man, we're tickled.
Well, again, congratulations, y'all deserve it. So what is there a criteria the TSBA looks at?
So they give you a rather extensive list of things you have to put together. So, yeah, it's a lot of work on our end to be able to do that. Now, that doesn't go to me. We had a lot of people that put a lot of time in to be able to bring that together along with the central office and all of our board members that reach certain levels and it takes it all coming together and to be able to present, hey, here's the reason why we should be the school board of the year. And so much of that, you can't do that without everybody all in. Okay, yeah. Everybody's got to be in. Mm-hmm. And when you do, yeah, you can be that.
My last question on it, we'll go on something else. Has there ever been a school board in Putnam County win this award that you know of?
Not to our knowledge, okay. No. I think this, I can't speak sure. So if somebody, I don't want to diss anybody, right. But I don't know that that's occurred before or hadn't heard that it has. And so, yeah, pretty big deal.
Yeah, it is. That's awesome. I'm with Mr. Lynn McHenry, the Putnam County Chair of the School Board District here in Putnam County. We'll be back in just a moment after this break. Congratulations again to them for the Tennessee School Board Association School Board of the Year. Be back in just a moment. Welcome back to Local Matters. Ben Rogers here with Mr. Lynn McHenry, Chair of the Putnam County School Board, and he serves in some other capacities that we may get to today, and we may not, because we went through the happy, the joyful time of the program, and we're about to talk about something that has been a hot topic for at least, over a year, really. It really started a couple sessions ago, just the discussion. But Governor Lee has been very supportive and vocal about a voucher bill for schools. Focusing on the it would impact public schools more than anybody, right?
Right.
And you probably know more about the language and stuff. We don't have to break down the language, but just last week, I think it was, trying to get my bearings straight, the first bill that was introduced. Now, we're not in session yet, right?
Right.
Session starts the second Tuesday of January. They will reconvene. At that point in time, there's going to be some new. So state Senate and the House of Representatives, they run on a 2-year cycle. So every 2 years they run. And so we'll have some new state representatives across the state in the General Assembly. Senate, they split term. So you have some senators that ran in 2024. You have some senators that ran in 2022. So you'll have some new senators across the state as well.
Correct.
And so they'll be introduced to some new legislation they haven't been able to conduct business on because they're brand new. The first bill that was filed or going to be filed or however the terminology is for this next session was the voucher bill. And, Lynn, I want you to be as open as you want to be, or you don't have to be. I don't want to put you in a bad spot. I know you and I've talked, and I know how a lot of the counties in Upper Cumberland feel, and really rural Tennessee. I can have an opinion. I have one. But I want to know, in your mindset and as the chair of the Putnam County School Board, what does a voucher bill do to this district?
So first off, it's to go back to your point. I'll build up to answer your question, but they have the bill before what will be before the legislature this time is a unified bill. So it's coming from the Senate and House, which makes it a pretty strong candidate to get through when it's unified, right? But many of the districts. In fact, I think most all the districts and many boards. Throughout the state still have issue with it. And so to speak personally of it, I'm not totally opposed to the voucher system. In theory, it makes good sense, right? It gives kids, the money follows the kids. So it gives the kids the opportunity to go to other schools, private schools, even, and carry that money with them so that they can maybe find a better education in other places other than just the public school that they may be in. So in theory, that makes good sense. And I'm not necessarily opposed to that part. But it's the things that get tied to where that money follows the kid and how what that school has to offer and what happens in that dynamic, that kind of the, you know, the devil's in the detail part, that's what we have to look at and a little deeper to see if it's going to be good for our system or not. And one of the first things we say is, look, we recognize public schools have issues with certain things, but we don't want the voucher bill to impact negatively public schools. And the sale has been, hey, we're going to give more money to public schools in order to increase them. But a lot of times we say, look, why don't we spend our resources, not just money, but our time and, you know, a lot of our energy to improving our public school system rather than putting money, taxpayer money, that follows the kid toward going to some private schools when we know we need some, you know, public school help. So that's one of the first things that you might say. And that's, you know, that part is debatable, and I'm even open to it to some extent. But here's one of the biggest things that most districts have problems with when it comes to the voucher bill, and that's accountability. So let me explain that. So everybody knows if you've got a child in anywhere in the state of Tennessee that goes to public school, they take a lot of tests, right? And we would like for those tests to be to somewhat be minimized. There's way too many of them. But at the same time, there has to be some. There has to be some measure of accountability to our public school system. So we take these tests. And as we take, whether it's TCAPs or other tests, could be EOCs that go toward the state requirements. But we take these tests in order to gauge the, you know, the success of our students, right? So as we take these tests, these scores are sent to the state, and the state evaluates them and awards you or tells you what your deficiencies are based on those. So that makes sense. We get that. Maybe it's too much testing. We understand that. But there is a measure there in place to see what the, you know, how public schools are doing. That measure is not going to be in place for those private schools. So there's not a measure of accountability for them to have to meet the same rigor that the public school system does. That's probably the biggest thing we say. Now, look, you want that amount of money to follow the child, but you don't want the accountability for the school that they're going into. That doesn't make sense to us. And it hasn't from the beginning. And we still, you know, that's one of the things we're going to champion right there. Hey, if they don't have to meet the same criteria as the public school system, then why would you introduce that kind of bill that the money would follow that child and we don't have any requirements for where that money goes? So that's one of the biggest things. One of the other concerns that we see, and I'm going to throw a couple numbers out here. They're not exact, so don't hold me to this. But in general, the average student, just the base money that goes with that student in Tennessee is about $6,800. That's through TESA. So that's the school funding, right, formula. So that is the basic amount. So that child would take that money that they receive, and that private school or other school would receive that $6,800, okay? So that sounds good. The school receives that money. They still get education, and hopefully it's better for them. One of the issues is rarely does that $6,800 going to actually cover their tuition for that private school. So that other money's got to come up, it's got to come from somewhere, right? So that that home, that family, those parents are going to have to come up with that additional money to meet whatever that tuition level is. And so, and you know, these private schools know what that money is, that $6,800 give or take is. So they're going to have their tuition set for that plus some.
Right.
And so it makes it a little more difficult for families to try to come up with that extra money if they want to send their kids. Now, one of the things the state's trying to do is say, okay, we're going to start with so many people that are in a particular category, poverty category or whatever, and we're going to give them incentives to go to these private schools. But long term, we see an issue with a lot of those people being able to afford to go to a private school, even when their money follows the child. Another thing, one big thing too that I'll mention is the kids that have an IEP, or what I mean by that, kids that have issues possibly with certain being able to learn certain ways, or it could be through the special ed programs. How many private schools are going to take those kids? And the answer is very few, almost none of them. So the public school system is going to. Now, we love those kids. We want them. We want to be able to make a change in their life. But you can't start saying you got to still continue. We have to take them anyway.
Sure.
But these private schools don't have to.
Right.
And so how do you start comparing those? Once again, it's not I don't think they've really thought the whole process through. And it, you'll see in many other states, Tennessee likes to – they like to say, okay, this is going to be different than any other state. What it would have to be, because most other states that have had voucher programs really haven't had much success with them.
Yeah.
You know, so.
So hold that thought. We're at a break, and there's more to talk about vouchers, but that's great information. That's one of the reasons I have Lynn here. We'll be back in just a moment with Lynn McHenry, chairman of the Putnam County School Board. Welcome back to Local Matters. Ben Rogers with Lynn McHenry, chairman of the Putnam County School Board. Great information so far. The first segment we talked about the Putnam County School Board being the Tennessee School Board Association School Board of the Year, which is a prestigious honor that they've achieved, and congratulations again to them. The last segment we covered vouchers, and Lynn, that was great information. One of the reasons I have you here, and obviously I want you to share your opinion if you want to, but your knowledge of it. So this is the thing about Lynn. I'm going to brag on you. I try to brag on you all the time. I yell at you sometimes, but that's what best friends
that's,
do.
That's exactly right.
When Lynn is asked to serve in a role, he really takes it seriously, and he learns everything he can about that role. So he has been on the school board since
2016.
I thought that was right.
Yeah.
16, and then you became the chair of the Double Springs Utility District in 21, 22, or 20, somewhere in that area.
Yeah, somewhere in there.
Yeah, yeah. And so and we haven't even got to water yet, right? And we may not get to, but he is the chair of that utility district. So he dives in, and he has all this knowledge. It's one of the reasons I have him on at least twice a year, because he's got the knowledge, and he's got a good viewpoint, and you may or may not agree with the voucher stuff that he said. It's pretty clear what you were saying a minute ago. Now my question about vouchers, and I think I know the answer, but from your perspective, because I don't want to come at a commissioner perspective yet, is if this unified bill that's been introduced passes this next session, and you know who knows what's going to happen, but it, like you said, strong evidence that it will, since it's unified, will that affect, and we'll just take Putnam County, for example, will that affect the Putnam County taxpayer, property taxpayer?
And the short answer to that is no. Long term, we don't know yet.
Yeah.
Because obviously there's a lot of money, millions of dollars, going into this voucher program, right, through the state. So where does that money come from? It obviously comes from the taxpayer. Now, we haven't – Tennessee – now, I'm going to – of course, I've been, you know, pushing against the voucher. You could tell that. But I want to say Tennessee's, as a state, is in very good condition.
Yeah.
You know, so the legislatures and the governor, that you know, give credit where credit's due. They've done a great job as far as where the position of the state is financially. And so they're able to come up with these options. So that's a great thing. So I want to commend them for what they've done there financially, that we're in good shape. So the governor says, hey, we can afford to do this and should be able to afford to do it long term without an impact on the taxpayer, even locally or, you know, from a state perspective. So hopefully that, you know, the taxpayer wouldn't see any difference there. Like I said, really my only concern with that is, okay, now if you're a citizen that is, you know, maybe in your finances are a little tighter, but you want to send your kid to this private school, are they going to have to come up with that extra money above what the state's allocated to them? That would be where my concern is. Hopefully there'll be ways around that, you know, the state can give more, or they can vary or wait, you know, some kind of waiver for that particular extra. Because I'm not, like I said, I'm not opposed to the private schools. I'm not opposed to that. And many times that education is very good. However, from a public perspective, we think ours is great too, right? And sometimes we have, you know, things we have to deal with, issues to increase that ability to give that best education to the child. But we think we can. Now, one thing that they are adding to this, and I'll finish on this note, is the governor is saying, hey, we're going to give public teachers a raise. We're going to add money to public schools and hope that they can increase as the voucher bill goes through. Well, that's a good thing, you know. So there, hopefully that's coming along with it if it does get passed, and at least we'll have that to be able to say, okay, we can increase you know, salaries in the public school system, and hopefully, you know, that will allow us to get better teachers and in turn have better results.
Yeah, the state of Tennessee has made efforts to invest in not only student education and student curriculum, but into the ones that are bringing that curriculum, right?
That's entirely correct. So we have to, you know, just the fact that they're interested in the kids in the state, that's huge, okay?
Right.
Because, once again, you can go to other states and realize there's not a whole lot of emphasis on education,
right,
you know, like it should be. So this is a good thing, you know, that there is emphasis on education, but let's go about it the right way.
Yeah, and Putnam County, again, the programs our district offers is part of it is because the state has given you all funding, and part of it is because the county has given you all funding.
That's exactly right.
It's been a group effort of funding from two different sources, and really there's federal programs too.
Mentioning that, there are. One of the things, and it just came to me, you mentioned that. One of the things that in our TSBA School Board of the Year Award, mm-hmm, that was important to them, which is important for others to see, is the relationship we have between us and the funding body,
yeah,
between the county commission. That relationship is critical.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't have a good relationship, you know, it's not going to happen. You're not going to get School Board of the Year because you're going to have strife, right?
Right.
We have a great relationship with the commission, and a lot of it, and I'm going to give the props back to you, because Ben does such a fabulous job, I don't know if people realize the amount of knowledge that you bring to the commission, and I'm saying that not just as my friend, but just as an outside observer too, that can see all the benefits you bring. So
we
have that great working ability. Otherwise, it's not going to, you know, it's just not going to get where you need to go.
Yeah.
So that's an important part of being able to be School Board of the Year, but it's also an important part of making sure our district is able to give those extra programs and have those things for kids. Because bottom line, what's it about? It's about educating our kids, and we want every one of our kids to find a spot, find a niche, find a place that they are that they can feel like they can be encouraged in and accomplish something in. And in order to do that, we need to widen our programs. We need to have programs that you know, give every kid an opportunity. I don't care. I've said this before. I don't care if it's in basket weaving, right?
Right.
Let's give the kid that opportunity if that's what they want to do. And obviously our sports do that, and we have great sports here, but let's get beyond that.
Sure.
You know, let's go to our, you know, we have some fabulous band, choir programs. We have all kinds of CTE things, construction classes, cosmetology, mechatronics. I mean, we can go on and on about all the programs we have getting kids ready for life after high school.
Yeah. So, and I'm not being critical of when I was in school, because it was a different time. I graduated in 1998, and I don't know how it was when you graduated, Lynn, a few years before that. I think it was probably similar. The push was everybody go to college.
Yeah.
And when I became a sophomore, if you call it orientation up from high school, you had to pick a path. You had to pick the college path or the vocational path. And it was like you couldn't do both, right?
Right.
I mean, I couldn't go do classes to learn how to build a house. I went to the Lynn McHenry School of Building Houses when I was in college because I worked for Lynn part-time. So that's where I learned that. And I couldn't do that and get ready for college. I had to pick one or the other. Now, I don't know if there's paths. I don't have kids, and you may answer, but I feel like there's a lot of opportunities to learn both if you choose to. And our school district has given those kids, like you said, multitudes of avenues of areas to learn and get seasoned and get perfected in so they can have a healthy career.
Oh, yeah. I'm telling you, that has been one of the major changes from, like you said, our time, our generation coming through to now. The opportunities are there. And it's not such this is a good thing. You know, it was black and white, vocational college, right? But we've grayed that up, and that's a great thing. We need to because I'll say there's a lot of kids now that, well, especially between our generation of graduating high school and now, there's a lot of kids that went to college that may have been better off not to.
Right.
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 And maybe some that didn't have an opportunity to that needed to.
Sure.
Right. So we're trying to find, okay, where does that child need to be? Either one of those situations. Well, there's so many programs now and such a need for that technical training. And that CTE, career technical mm-hmm. education, that for that technical training that can really, you know, grow that kid into a role in society that makes a big difference. And that may or may not come through a college degree, but if the paper is not going to really lend to you contributing to the community, then what good is it? Let's give them a option that they can say, hey, I can excel in this particular area and do just as well or better many times than going to college. So there's opportunities there across the board. And we feel like we're beginning finally to fill all those opportunities. But there's more.
Yeah.
And so there's more we can do.
Lynn, thank you for being here. We talk quite a bit, folks, and that's dangerous sometimes.
You know, it can be.
But we do bounce stuff off each other, not only about life, but about service to the county, our Putnam County. And so thank you for being here, and thank you for your time.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, folks, I hope you've enjoyed this. A lot of good information about our school district and vouchers coming up this next session. Just keep your eye on that and be informed, so especially if you have kids in school. Hope you have a great weekend. Remember, it's a lot easier to smile than it is to frown. Be kind to one another. That's how we get through this life. Make sure you make somebody's day. Treat everyone kindly. Love on each other. We'll see you next week.